So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he's just telling him what he knew and what he remembered. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you," or broken for you. Broken is in italics, should be. It's not in the text, but it's for you. This, my body is for you. My body is a substitute for you, right? This is his sacrifice. This do in remembrance of me. Remember me when you eat this bread. Remember me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. Oh, verse 25, I should read that. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." See, every time a sacrifice was made in the Old Testament, every time, the blood was shown. It was sprinkled, it was drawn, it was burned on the altar. Because it says in Leviticus, I think, is the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the blood represents this life that's been given. It represents the life. That's where the life resides. If you take the blood out of our bodies, we die, don't we? And that's why it's representative of that. That's why there's so much talk about blood in the scripture. It's because that conveys life in a very serious and sober way. And that's what he was speaking of, is this. This is what was necessary to establish a new testament, a new covenant, where there was the old covenant of the law that Moses made with the people and that they accepted. There is a new covenant now because of a new sacrifice that was made, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he established a new and better covenant based on better promises. All the book of Hebrews explains it all. How that, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the Passover lamb that got them out of Egypt, got them out of the bondage. He is our Passover, it says in Corinthians. Jesus Christ is crucified for us. He is our Passover, crucified for us. He was the sacrifice. He is the burnt offering. He is the sin offering. He is the sacrifice of every kind. He is the wave offering, the first fruit from among the dead. He is that. He is all of those things. And it is his life that establishes this new covenant between us and our God. It says that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He mediated that which we could not fulfill on our own. There's one explanation of the word mediator that it relates to atonement and to make people at one again, right? You've heard that about the word atonement. It's at one meant. That's what it's kind of translated as, or understood as, but it really means to bring back into favor. That which Jesus Christ mediated between God and us was to restore us back to God's favor. Restore us back to having access to him freely and openly. And so every time we eat this bread, every time we drink the wine, we are remembering what he did for us. We are remembering the price that he paid for us. We are remembering that his life was for our life. So when we take and eat this, when we drink the wine, it is in that regard. It is to remember. It is to proclaim the reason for his death. Not that just he died, but the reason. Why did he do it? It was for our complete and full redemption. Right? So that's why we remember it this way. It goes further to say that, in this scripture, that, you know, when you recognize and remember the purpose, you know, like what it says in Peter, you know, that it's a restatement of what it says in Isaiah 53, that it is by his stripes that we are healed. That's what's coming from Isaiah's point of view. And then when Peter restates it, he says it's by his stripes we were healed. That which he went through in his body paid for our healing. It purchased our healing as well as our redemption. God has always wanted to heal his people. He has always wanted them to be in health. He has always wanted them to prosper. There has never been a time when God has not wanted us to live a life which is more than abundant. Not before Christ and not after. He always took care of Israel when they walked with him, when they recognized his authority and his sufficiency in their lives. He always took care of them. He promised them, you know, just obey me, and none of the things that befall the unbeliever will befall you. None of those sicknesses that come upon them will come upon you. I will heal you. I will send my word to heal you. Because when God speaks his word, whether it be by the prophet, whether it be by his son, Jesus Christ, whether it be by the scripture, whether it be by your mouth, when it is words from God, it will heal. It will deliver. It will bring to pass the impossible. We say these things because they're true, not because every time we say them, we experience them. There are a lot of people who doubt the truth. There are a lot of people who say, well, you say healing's available, but I haven't seen you healed. Well, they said the same thing to Jesus Christ. Heal yourself. Get yourself off the cross if you would. You can. Well, he knew he didn't. He would love to. But he knew he was paying a price that was worth paying. But even Paul, you know, he said, you know, I had to leave this one city and I left my friend sick. I left him there sick. Why? Because healing was not available? No. They had seen many healings. And in Corinth, he was just simply saying, look, remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember the price he paid for you. Remember that it's more than just a new covenant. It's a covenant that has real benefit. It has real wholeness available to you in every way. Whatever ailment you may have, and we all have them, we know that the power of God is present to heal us, because the power of God dwells in each one of us. Every son of God has Christ in them. Every son of God, every daughter of God has the Holy Spirit of God within them. And that Holy Spirit of God is power. It is spiritual power, and it can make your life whole in every way. And you can give that wholeness as a gift to others. We say this because it's true. We say this because when we believe it, we see it happen. I've been healed many times in my life. I know you have too. We've seen others healed. We've seen others die. But we know that even in spite of the worst, we have promise of eternal life. So we continue to strive to believe God, to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And every time we drink this wine, we eat this bread, we declare the purpose of his sacrifice. And the benefit that it is to us when we believe. We just remember, you know, and And they had a culture that ate a lot of bread, drank a lot of wine. The Italians still do. The Greeks still do. There are cultures around the world that still continue. And the encouragement is, whenever you do, it doesn't have to be a setting like this. Whenever you drink this cup, when you think of wine, I think back. The Lord drank wine with his disciples that night. He said, whenever you drink this, whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Remember what I've done for you or what I'm about to. We look back and we remember what he did. Doesn't have to be formal. Doesn't have to be with prayer. But silently in our hearts, we always are at prayer, aren't we? We always are at prayer with our Heavenly Father. We're always open before him when we know who he is and how much he loves us. And there's no greater show of it than the offering of his son. So we remember these things. So did you drink wine yet?
No. We've been waiting on you.
Well, I don't have any. All I have is coffee. We have so many things to be thankful for and so many things that God has prepared for each of us. And, you know, it's just a matter of being aware and being conscious of it. And not, you know, it's not about religion. It's not about, you know, like I said last week, it's not just about bringing the palm leaves home from church, you know, and making sure your neighbors know, yeah, I was there. And no, it's more, it goes so much deeper than that. You know, we don't have a huge building. We don't have a huge following, but we are a part of an enormous body of Christ. Because every individual who is born again of God's Spirit, no matter what church they may sit in on Sundays, no matter what Bible study they may go to, if they are true believers, then they are part of the body of Christ. And they have Christ in them. Many of them don't know that they have Christ in them. But you do. And like what Kurt shared earlier, you know, I don't always speak to people about the truth that I know. But for some reason, I just had to mention it to this man. You know, there are those times when you will get that little nudge and you will open your mouth and the words of from God will come out and you will bring deliverance and you will remember and they will be made known of the greatness of who we serve and who we love because he first loved us. We have so much to be thankful for. Most of all, our eternity is bought and paid for. So in the ages to come, God's going to show each one of us his goodness and his mercy and his grace for eternity. And how thankful we are for that. Right? So I love you all very much. So I'm going to pray. We're going to receive an abundant sharing. Because God has done so much for us. And again, you know, these offerings, you know, offerings, sacrifices we don't have to do that. We're living sacrifices now. We present ourselves to God. Here we are. I love you, Father. You know, work in me. You know, nudge me here and there when it's necessary. Right, Kurt? So, and here I am. I'll do for you what I can. You know, and what I'm willing to do, because he wants us to be willing. He wants us to be willing. You know, that was what you read Leviticus chapter 1 and a little bit about the offerings and stuff. And you'll see, you know, all the requirements that he made, but they're so wonderful. You know, and it's all about the willing heart. It's all about your will. You decide. You know, it's like this with abundant sharing. We call it abundant sharing. We don't call it tithes because God doesn't say 10% anymore. He just says, do whatever you want. You want to give 10%? Great. You want to give 5? Whatever you want. You got one mite left, like the woman at the temple that Jesus Christ saw? She gave her last mite. It's not a bug. It was a coin. She gave, and he looked at her and he just was astounded. It blessed him so much. He said, you know what? She's given more than all these people with all this money. They put all this money in the treasury, and it's nothing compared to her because she gave her last bit. It's up to you. As a man so thinketh in his heart, so let him give. Right? But do it willingly. Do it willingly. There's a lot of great stuff about those sacrifices. It had to be the best. Had to be willing to do it. There's even a point, there's even something in there about salt.
Yeah.
If you're going to give a sacrifice, do it with salt. Everyone, from here on, from here forward, salt it. Covenant of salt. You take a covenant of salt with the Almighty, and He takes one with you. Every offering they made. He also expected the offerer to put his hand on the offering, to lay his hands on it, to identify himself with his substitute. Great things. All very meaningful. So there's always a reason why God does stuff. There's always a reason for the wine and the bread. And it's not religious. It's not just a rite that the church performs. Because a rite without willingness, without heart, without faith in what it represents and what it looks to is nothing but an empty ceremony. But when we drink this wine and eat this bread and know why, we receive the benefits of it. So, be blessed. So, Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to honor us and bless us because we simply believe you and trust you. Thank you, Father, for all your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us and how that he gave his life. He gave everything for us. He gave his very life so that we could live. Thank you for that, Father. And thank you that you continue to bless us and we continue to have opportunity to honor you and respond back in acknowledgement of your blessings. Not with the burnt sacrifices of the Old Testament, but with our simple willingness to give from our hearts the first fruits of that which you have blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for blessing the gifts back to the givers as you always do. And Father, for more and more, continuing to be faithful to your promises to each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.